Blog Talk Radio.
Because we're going to be joined by Mr. Ronnie C. Dawson. He's going to hang out with us for a little bit and talk about his debut novel, Irreconcilable Differences. So we're going to get into that in a moment. First, we have to give a shout-out to AANBC founder, Ms. Tamika Newhouse, and want to say thanks to her for all that she does for AANBC. She is actually a diligent promoter for African-American authors, so we do want to give her a shout and just say thanks for doing all that she do. We haven't been on, we didn't come on last Wednesday because my guest never confirmed, but, you know, it goes that way sometimes. But we are back tonight, and we're going to spend a little while hanging out with our guest, Mr. Ronnie Dawson. Without further ado, I'm going to bring him on to allow him to introduce himself, and you guys can get to know him and a little bit about his new novel, Irreconcilable Differences. Mr. Dawson, if you can hear me, just say hello.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
I am great. I am great. Welcome onto the show. It's so good to have you on the show with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I definitely do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. That's what we do. We are here to promote. So I'm glad that you can join us tonight. Before we get into the book and talk about your journey as an author, we always like to get a little background or a little history on the person before the author, because we know we have to start somewhere. So real quick, give us, I guess, a lowdown of who you are, where you're from, if you have kids, and are you married? Just a little background about yourself before we get started talking about the author, Ronnie Dawson.
Well, again, my name is Ronnie Dawson. I'm originally from Camden, New Jersey. I currently live in Williamstown. I've been out here for about 4 years. I am a professional, actually, case manager that works with adult offenders, you know, when I'm not writing. And in addition to that, I'm currently going through a divorce, which is actually partly where my title, Irreconcilable Differences, came from. No kids, but do spend a lot of time with family, friends, and, you know, just doing different things that, you know, I like being around people. So, you know, that's definitely a big part of my life.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm kind of jealous, you know. I got a couple kids. Happy about it. Going to have many people that say don't have no kids. I'm like, God, if I could just start over.
See, for me, my kids are my nieces and my nephews. You know, they're like mine. I, you know, spend a lot of time with them. They're absolutely great. You know, I don't have any of my own yet, but, you know, maybe one day.
But those nieces and nephews are returnable.
Exactly.
Wow. So when you, before you sat down to actually write a novel or to write a book, did you always have a desire to do that? Was it always in you? Did you start writing early? How did you get into writing books?
Honestly, you know, for the longest, I was not one for writing. I was probably one that rebelled against writing ever since my high school days. You know, I didn't really like writing papers, and, you know, I never saw it as a passion. And then a couple of years ago, I got an idea that, you know, I wanted to put a story together. I came up with the title right away. I mean, you know, as an author, a lot of times people come up with the titles at the end of their story. For me, the title came first, and I built the story around that. You know, I started writing it in 2009, maybe 4 or 5 months after I got married, which is when everything started going downhill.
Wow, that was brief.
Yeah, so I mean, I started writing it then, and then I published it this past Valentine's Day.
Okay, now so you're answering a lot of my questions before I can get to them. One, because you're giving a lot of information, so this interview is going to be nice and easy. You know, because sometimes I interview people, I have to, it's like pulling teeth to get information out. But you're working with me, so I like that. So,
Absolutely. So
a lot of people, you know, I have different artists that come on with different backgrounds. A lot of people say, I've been writing since I was 4. A lot of people, like myself, I was a late bloomer. It took my divorce, too, to get me in a writing mood. You know, I was like, you know, I went from journaling to, okay, now I need to write something more. That's how I transitioned into writing. So I do understand that sometimes an incident or something tragic or a situation that can prompt, you know, you to write something. So it was better to write it out than to choke somebody. So I agree with that method. So I'm proud of you. So when you sat down and you had this idea to write this novel, did you have any intention on publishing the book at the beginning, or do you want to just, I guess, vent or journal? Was it, did you start writing a book with a motive to publish the book?
I did. I started the book with the motive to publish the book, which, you know, not really knowing where to go from the beginning. I started just writing, and then part of what took me so long, I kept finding myself going back and reading through it and rewriting things. And, you know, it was finally when I said, all right, let me just finish writing the story. And, you know, I got that done finally, maybe almost close to 3 years later, and everything was kind of smooth sailing after that. But, you know, I reached out to publishing companies, I reached out to literary agents, either didn't get responses or got responses from agents saying they weren't taking on new clients. And I had made up my mind that no matter what, once I was done, even if I had to publish it myself, that's what I was going to do.
Right, right. And that was going to be my next question, because a lot of times people do have different approaches or different avenues that they take to actually get that book in print. So you did try the traditional route first, and with the one that was not a good route, you know, you decided to go ahead and self-publish. How was the experience for you in self-publishing your book? Did you find it challenging, or did it come fairly easy to you?
It was challenging. I mean, it was a lot of homework. I would definitely say, especially for anybody who's thinking about self-publishing, do your homework on things first, because there's a lot of companies out there that'll tell you you need thousands of dollars to publish a book. And, you know, I was finding that with some of the companies, but, you know, ultimately when I finished, it didn't really cost me much. I decided not to go with the editors or the cover artists that were involved with the publishing company. I actually found someone on Facebook who helped me find someone to do my cover art and find an editor who actually, both of them were fantastic.
Right. And I do see your cover. Your cover is a nice cover. And you could always drop names here. We like to drop names because that might help somebody else. So if you
want
to promote or drop a name to give those inspiring authors out there someone to maybe reach out to, that's perfectly fine with us, because we're not only here just to promote the author. We know it's a community thing. It's a industry. You can't do one without the other. You can't put out a book without an editor. You can't put out a book without a typesetter. You can't put out a book without a designer. So we need all these elements or these parts to make one whole. So it's okay here. You can drop any names. You can share information if you like.
I will tell you, anyone who is looking for someone to do a cover for you, Janita Jackson, she is from Pennsylvania. She's absolutely great. She's one of the best. And as far as editors, Anita Davies is who I work with. She, you know, helped me through from beginning to end. You know, one of the things I did when I finally finished the manuscript, I asked her, I said, I need you to rip it apart word by word from beginning to end. And that's what we did. You know, we came up with some other things that we needed to add. And, you know, she helped me turn it into a finished project. And I can definitely say without Janita Jackson or Anita Davies, Irreconcilable Differences wouldn't have been the project that it is right now.
Okay. Now, the title speaks for itself. We understand what it is. We know what that means. It's like either a marriage or a contract gone bad. So take us, I guess, in between the pages of your novel and give us a little background about the characters and actually what's going on. Now, it's up to your discretion. Some people, you know, sometimes I get to talking about their book and I'm like, okay, well, we're out of time now. I can't ask no more questions. But some people, you know, only give a little bit. So it's up to you. Take your time. Just take us through the pages of this book to give us the what the characters are about and who they are.
Well, the main character, her name is Mia Davis. She is trying to overcome the tragedy of losing her parents. Both of her parents are tragically killed when they're hit by a car that's trying to get away from the police and a police chase in downtown Camden. I actually have the initial setting in my hometown on the corner of Broadway and Federal. So the person is trying to get away from the cops and, you know, actually runs down her parents and leaves the scene, killing both of them. She never knows who is responsible for the crime, and she spends years trying to get some sort of closure because she feels empty having lost her parents and not have any idea why or who, or there's so many questions that she has. So she ends up in a relationship. She falls in love with her fiancé turned husband, Michael, who, after they get married, there's a series of events that leads her to believe that he's not who she initially thought he was. You know, so there's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of suspense involved. It's like every scene from beginning to end will keep you on the edge of your seat, wanting to turn the page to see what happens next.
Right, wow.
But there's all kinds of things from elements that where like, Mia finds herself at every turn feeling like the person she's dealing with is lying to her, whether it's her husband, whether it's the officers investigating her parents' death. You know, she feels like she can never get the truth. And, you know, to go through years of your life and be in search of something and not find it is, you know, painful. And Irreconcilable Differences captures that pain through each step of her life.
So far with this book is versus the marital issues, is any of the storyline or anything from the book, is it personal or something that happened to someone close to you, or is it just purely fiction all made up?
It's purely fiction. I threw a couple of personal elements in there as far as dates and places, just to, you know, for some people who would be able to read it that can relate to. For example, my sister read it, and one of the incidents in there, there's a date attached to it. I used her birthday for it. So when she read it, she had no clue. And then when she read it, she called me on the phone and was like, you know, really? My birthday, really? So, so I mean, there's elements like that in there, but outside of that, Irreconcilable Difference is completely fiction.
Right. So what genre would you categorize this book to be? Because, you know, with so much going on, you have a couple things going on with the suspense, the mystery, and the marriage. You know, it has a little bit of romance, a little bit of suspense, a little bit of drama. And it sounds like it might have a little hood in it. So, you know, you have a lot going on. So if you were asked to put this book in a category or a genre, what book would you say it would be in? What category would you say it would be in?
You know what? You just described it perfectly, because that's the hardest thing for me, is to put it in one category. You know, it's got a whole lot of drama in it. You know, there's elements of romance, suspense. So, I mean, to put it in one category is kind of difficult, but drama, urban drama, I would definitely say that would fit.
Yeah, wow. Because a lot of times people, and it's so sad that I have gotten past the box. You know, I live out of the box now, because I used to be just like, I just want to read a romance, but I just love romance. But since I've been an author, a publisher, or been where I'm running, I'm coming into contact with so many different authors and so many different styles of writing. Now my reading library is a lot broader. You know, I'm finding myself enjoying books that I never thought I would enjoy. So a lot of people had that category or that genre stigmatism, which they need to get away from. I think you need to try a book. If you like it, you like it. If you didn't, you just didn't.
Right.
So that's why I asked, because those who are listening might want to know, okay, if I get this book, what am I getting myself into? So we have to always make that clear. Real quick before we continue, we do have a caller in the queue, and I just always like to acknowledge my callers just to make sure that it's, whether they're calling into listening or if they want to speak to the guest. A lot of people don't press the right key, so they don't get it right. So I'm going to acknowledge area code 770. Are you calling in to ask a question for the author, or are you just listening in?
Hey, Miss Anna, it's Lisa.
Hey, Miss Lisa, how are you?
Good. How y'all doing tonight, Ronnie? We don't like you, but we love you.
That's not my. I know that ain't my partner. I know that ain't my partner. She.
It sure is.
Oh no, not Lisa. Thanks for calling in.
You know how to call in and cut up.
Yeah, well, Lisa supports everybody. Lisa's awesome, so.
She is. She absolutely is. It's crazy because I've known Lisa for like a week, and it's like I've known Lisa forever. You know, we, you know, kicked it and, you know, went over a lot of stuff. There's an event I have on Facebook she's helping with. We just did a show last night. I was in on her show last night. You know, so it's like I've known her for a long time. It's not like you wouldn't think I would only know her for a week.
Now, Lisa's just that type of person. When you meet her, you're like, okay. It's just like, okay, we go way back. We just met 4 hours ago, but we go way back.
Jersey in the building. You already know. Newark all the way to ATL, the West Coast. You know how we do. But I had to I've been listening on the show. I got people in my house, so I had to step outside. And, of course, the dog had to run down the cul-de-sac. So I'm sitting here. When you pick me up, I'm like, oh, I'm yelling for pressure to come home. But he out there think he pimping some. I don't know. That's Coco T right there, that little boy. But yeah, I have to show much respect for Ronnie because, again, like he said, we met like a week ago on Facebook, and we've been on the phone, we've been grinding, we've been doing like so much stuff to do and get everybody out there, and that's what we need to do. But when he came on my show last night, and because, you know, the domestic violence show on Sundays, I started him back up last night. And I was just sitting there listening to his story, and I was like, wow. It don't, like, what we all go through. It don't even have to be, like, it's just abuse everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
Right. So, and if it didn't happen to you, 9 times out of 10, we know somebody that it happened to, you know. So it is a touchy subject. So, and it's real. It's real. It is definitely real.
Yeah, more than you know. Love from a fist, you already know. But okay, you can put me back on hold.
All right, well, thank you so much,
Ronnie. I'll hit one again to cuss out Ronnie in a minute because I haven't cussed him out for something. I'll think of something to cuss him out for. I'm from Newark. You already know, Jersey in the house.
Oh my goodness, Lisa, you a mess. We thank you, Mama, for calling in. Thank you so much.
Love y'all.
Love you too.
Definitely.
Wow, Lisa it's not even one word to describe her. She's always in good spirits. She's always Miss Lisa Terrell, period, for those who don't know. If you're not her Facebook friend, be her Facebook friend. She is a promoter. She will put you on. She is awesome. So you guys, check her out. Lisa doing big things too. So we're going to get back to I guess. We're not going to take focus off I guess. What's next for you? Because I know the book just came out this year. What type of success have you had so far with your debut release? Also, I asked a couple questions in one, so feel free to stop me sometime. But, you know, what type of feedback have you been getting? What's been going on since the book has released for you?
Well, The book has allowed me to do a lot of different things. One of the things I wanted to do was go the unconventional route with getting the book out there. So I've actually partnered with several different organizations to do fundraisers with the different organizations where a portion of the proceeds would go to that organization. I'm working with the company that I work for, which is an adult offender program. I've worked with several churches, schools, and now I'm actually trying to do there's a domestic violence program I'm looking for. I'm going to be talking to Lisa about that. Just to, you know, get my book out there, but also give back at the same time. That was one of the things I wanted to do. As far as feedback that I've received, I'm going to tell you a story that I had. You know, I was at an event maybe little over a month ago, and a friend of mine came through and wanted a copy of the book, so signed a copy of the book for her. She read the back, and first thing she says to me is, as I was telling you, that Mia is trying to recover from the loss of her parents, and she found out that her husband is not who she thought he was. Well, she says, well, is her husband responsible for her parents' death? So I said, you know, I don't really want to give it away. I want you to read the book and enjoy it, you know. So her being her, she goes to the last pages of the book to find out. So she looks and looks, and she's like, here's my answer right here. So she starts reading. I said, you know what, if you're going to do this, let me let you do it right. So I turn her to the first page of the last chapter, and I watch her as she starts reading the last chapter, and you see her face just as she's going through, her face just drop in surprise, like, oh my gosh, is this really, like, because it wasn't what she expected. And,
right.
You know, for her to see what she saw, you know, she closed the book and it was like, all right, so when's part two coming out? You know, I can't believe it ended like that. No, you know. So, I mean, that's the question that I get a lot. You know, people will tell me they love the book. They absolutely loved it. They couldn't put it down. And then they'll go on to, so what are you writing next? When is the next one coming out? And it feels good for me because one of my biggest fears in putting this book out was how it was going to be received by the readers. You know, and I've had a lot of great feedback, and I'm just grateful for it.
Yeah, and I tell you, and I still consider myself a newbie because although I'm 6 weeks in now, thank God, I still get that same feeling. It doesn't matter how many books you put out, Ronnie. Every time you birthed a book, it's just like birthing a baby. And every time you bring that baby home from the hospital, you want somebody to think this baby is cute. That's how it is. And it's like, my last baby was cute, but I want this baby to be just as cute. So you're going to always, always get that same feeling every time you put out something new because you want your readers to like this one just as much as they like the last one. So that's never going to change. That
right.
is never going to change. Never. So do you see yourself, I understand you're an advocate for domestic violence and you do all these basically giving back type movements to help your community and things like that and make people aware. But being a writer, sometimes people are a little bit more versatile and they have other things that they would like to write about. So if you had another genre that you would want to write about, what genre would that be?
I think all of my work is going to be either something that it's going to stay in three things, drama, romance, or suspense. You know, I have another project that I'm working on that deals with a single parent. You know, a lot of people, when they think about single parents, they think about single mothers. Well, one of the stories that I'm working on is going to deal with struggles of an inner city single father.
Right.
So that's one thing that I'm actually doing a lot of research on now to try to put that together. Because I think the biggest challenge is going to be doing it from a fictional aspect, but being realistic about it.
And, right.
You know, not having kids of my own, it's going to be kind of difficult. But the research is coming along pretty good. So.
Even if you interview a lot of single mothers, trust me, their story is probably going to be the same as
right.
a single dad. It's going to probably measure up to the same because I think, you know, I've been through a time in my life after I got my first divorce that I was a single mother for a while. And I had an absentee father who decided that he, you know, no longer wanted to be responsible for his seed. You know, so I'm pretty sure if you have a mother that's sometimes, for instance, I work hotel work. I work at the Hampton Inn, been working for Hilton for several years. Over the weekend, we had a lady that had checked into the hotel. She's a military spouse. The military put her up because they're flying her out. Her husband's going to some type of separation. Finds out that she's the abuser of the relationship. She's attacking him. And I'm like, what? You know, usually the other way around. But now the dad is left to raise a four-month-old baby, and he has no clue. And I'm like, this is, like, weird for me, you know. So I understand that there's different cases that happen, and the mom's, like, on drugs and things like that. So I can imagine that it'll be tough for fathers, too, to go through the scenario of having to raise their children alone.
Right. And, you know, being primarily raised by a single mother, and I have a whole lot of women in my family. And, you know, I was raised by a single mother. My aunt, who is like my second mother, she has 8 kids that she's raised on her own. And it's absolutely amazing because out of the 8 kids, most of her kids are either in college or have graduated college. You know, none of them have been in trouble. it's just amazing for, you know, all of them to grow up in a city like that and to come out with outcomes like that. So, I mean, I've seen a lot. My sister is a single mother. She has four kids. You know, so I have a lot of women in my life right now that are single mothers and, you know, things that I can look at. I just want to, you know, get the male perspective of it, too.
Right. Well, let me ask you, you know, since this is your mission, because everybody, this is your calling, because it's not easy. You know, everybody cannot do the same thing, the same job. Everybody's interests are not peaked the same way. So with your research in the mission that you're on, the journey you're on, do you find that there's more men that's actually been abused in relationships, but they don't report it? My question is a two-part question. If there's more cases of men being abused, why do you think men don't report it or do not act on it?
Because we're men, and you know, men and victims don't necessarily go hand in hand, at least not in our minds. You know, you don't want to necessarily step forward as being abused. You know, men don't get abused. That's not something that men do. You know, I'm in, as part of my divorce, I could actually, you know, I was married for, I got married August 2009. Like I said, it started going sour towards the end of that. I can show you pictures, you know, of holes in the walls, all kinds of stuff from when my ex would used to just throw stuff. But I knew going in that she was bipolar. I didn't, you know, that's nothing for me to hold against a person. But
right,
as the years went by, you know, I learned a lot of things, especially how things could be, you know, when a person gets out of control. But there was another side to it. She was also, shockingly enough, a licensed therapist. And
Wow. For
me, when my marriage was really coming to an end and it was time to kind of separate things, I had to be careful, at least in my mind, how I did that. You know, she was very, very, very manipulative. And, you know, I'm going to tell you like this. I was actually in an interracial relationship, and she had said to me one time when things got out of hand, she said, well, what are you going to do? She said, if the cops come out there, who are they going to believe? Are they going to believe you or are they going to believe me? And
wow.
I said, okay. So what she didn't know was during the time that things were, you know, going through, if something would happen, I would just leave the house. I'm not going to stay here and get into a crazy situation. I'm going to leave.
Right.
So I would leave the house. My best friend, she's actually, I've known her for 20 years, would tell me, you know, you need to go put that on record. You need to go put that on record. She's calculating things, so you need to be careful. So I actually had about 3 or 4 incidents that were put on record. And then finally, I said, I'm done. And she snapped out in here one day, and I had the cops come out here and remove her, filed the restraining order, went to court, and, you know, it was a couple of options, either drop the restraining order or, you know, proceed with it. I could have I did proceed with it, but while I was in court, the judge said to me it didn't look like I was in fear for my life, so he wasn't going to, you know, grant the final restraining order. So I said, okay. I said, that's fine with me. You don't want to grant it, but I don't want her to come back to the house. I'm not going through this, you know.
Right.
So she came back maybe a couple of days later. You know, she had to call the township police to come out so that they can get her stuff. She came to get her stuff, and, you know, it was without incident. And then recently we moved the rest of her stuff out of here. So I can say now that my divorce is in process, and, you know, in about 6 weeks I'll be, you know, completely free of all of this. But, you know, it goes both ways. You have women that are more commonly the victims, and then you have men that are victims, but victims on different levels. You have some that, you know, go through verbal abuse, some that go through serious physical abuse, and, you know, some that go through abuse and they're like, oh, well, it's not that bad. You know, mine wasn't as bad, but mine, you know, was bad enough, and I just was tired of it.
Right. Well, by no means am I, for those who's listening, I'm not treating my guest as he's as an expert or a doctor. So I don't want nobody to think that Ann is trying to do a Dr. Phil. That's not what we're doing here, because I have to, take heed to what I was doing, because I don't want nobody to think that we're giving medical advice. We're not. We're just going by case-by-case scenarios and by research, not by being physicians. So don't misunderstand. Don't think that we're playing doctor here. So I want you to understand it. And not at all. My next question to you would be, if you would give advice to someone, and this is just from me hearing your personal experience, if you had the opportunity to give advice to someone that's been abused or victimized in their home, whether it be a spouse or a child or in a situation like that, what would you suggest that they do? Because some people truly, truly, honestly are afraid to report it or get help. What advice would you give them to get out of that situation?
You know, being one that, you know, works with people who have been victims, you find that a lot of times they've been isolated. So the things that would be helpful to someone is, you know, going to someone that you trust, talking to them, putting together some sort of exit plan, especially if you have kids, know where you can go and when you're ready to get out. No one can physically remove you from a situation. You have to be ready to leave the situation yourself. So, you know, having that place to go or that person to talk to is going to make all of the difference.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, when that abuser goes to work, pick up the phone. You know, you don't have somebody to call. 911 always works. Just,
right.
You know, find a strategy to get out.
Right. And I know our conversation went more so from the book than into other things, and this needed to be said, because we may have one or two people that may need this information or may need to hear it. We still want to promote the book, you guys, because the book is fiction. It's called Irreconcilable Differences. You have to go out and get it. That was the reason why Mr. Dawson came on the show tonight, to promote his book, but he transitioned over to some things that needed to be addressed. And I will say, too, if you know somebody that's being victimized, don't be silent. Even if you're just making a report, give something to help that person, because if you report an incident of abuse, at least something will be on record. You know, we can't save people. You know, they have to save themselves. But don't turn an ear or turn and act like you. Don't ignore it, because people lose their lives every day because of domestic violence or child abuse or whatever. It escalates, and if no one helps them, people die from this, and it's very serious. So I'm glad that we got to speak to Runny tonight, and we got on the subject, because it is a subject that needs to be addressed. Before we close out the show, we want to get back to the book real quick, because I know we strayed off, but I'm kind of glad we did. Give us some tour dates. Are you on tour promoting the book? Will there be any events that's coming up that people can come out and meet you?
Well, right now I'm working on scheduling a couple of different book signings. I don't have anything as far as appearances scheduled yet. There's another author that I'm working with. Her name is Lisa Wooten. We've actually...
No, Lisa. We're Facebook buds.
Okay. Well, Lisa and I are actually putting together we call it a Facebook tour. It's actually 8 days of an event with 8 different authors, where each day we're featuring a different author in their book, trying to help others promote. So, you know, her and I are putting that together. It's starting August 25th through September 1st. So,
well, y'all need more than 8 days, because I wouldn't be on it.
come through. I mean, you can definitely come through. You know, we each one of us will have a day. So we can definitely, if we need to extend it to include you, I'll talk to her, and we can definitely, you know, work something out. So it's a free event. One of the things some of the things that we're asking the authors to bring on is if they have copies of the books that they want to give away to some of the
mm-hmm.
readers. We're going to be
mm-hmm.
doing that. We're putting together. We're all chipping in for Barnes & Noble gift cards and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just things like that for some of the
some
readers. But,
right.
Yeah, but it's going to be nice. It's going to be interesting. So, you know, I'm working on that.
Well, we do have two more calls in the queue. I'm going to open up line 313. The first three digits is 878. Are you calling in to listen? Do you have a question or a comment for our guest tonight? Okay. A lot of times we do get shy people. Are you there? Do you want to speak? That's fine. Oh, wait. I think they're talking. Hello?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was just listening until you said something.
What'd I say?
This is Ernestine Moore. Just listening to you. So, hi, Ronnie.
Ernestine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. See, it's glad to hear you. You know, Ernestine is actually, I met her a while ago. When she was telling one of her stories, and you know, she's got a powerful book out right now as well, and she's in. We're doing a Facebook event titled "I Survived," and it's full of survivors of medical issues, domestic violence, all kinds of abuse, and you know, she's been one to help, you know, and participate in that. So always, always grateful for Ernestine. So how are you?
I'm good. I was just listening. I just happened to get back on Facebook and see that the show was on, that you will be on tonight as well as yesterday. Actually, I listened yesterday, and my phone and my computer kept acting up, so I couldn't let y'all know that I was actually online listening and typing, saying something.
Well, we definitely always, always appreciate you.
Yeah,
you have a personal story or book that's out, Miss Ernestine, or coming out?
No, it's out. It's called Casualty of Silence, and it's with the subject that y'all are talking about tonight, even though I only caught part of it. So, but it's with the subject that you are talking tonight about how I was a survivor, how I walked that path of destruction, and now I'm on the right path. And so I am being almost like a voice for the voiceless, just talking about that abuse, how talking help you to heal and to bring the awareness, especially of sexual abuse, especially of sexual abuse within our family.
Right. Well, you make sure you inbox me at annabc@gmail.com. Again, that's annabc@gmail.com. If you inbox me, we can also set up an interview for you to come on to the show and talk about your book. We're here to promote all Black African American authors out there trying to promote their book. So you
okay.
are more than welcome to join us on the show to talk about your book. So make sure you
okay.
inbox me.
Okay.
Well, alrighty. Thank you so much for calling in.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
All righty. We do have another area code 205, the first three digits is 201. Do you have a comment or question for our guest?
Well, hi. Hello, this is Myra Rutledge. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Myra. Welcome
hi.
On to the show.
Thank you. Ronnie Dawson has just become a member of my group on Facebook. I love
mm-hmm.
Christian writers. And he has a powerful testimony. I was just listening. I saw where he advertised that he was going to be on tonight, and I wanted to catch the show to listen to it. And all I want to say is, wow. I mean, he has lived three lifetimes.
Right.
And I just want to encourage him to go on and do what the Lord would have for him to do. And I can't wait to read his work.
Myra.
Yes.
I definitely appreciate you coming on. She actually invited me to her group. I had posted my story and my survival story, actually, about how, you know, I was born with a brain condition called hydrocephalus and,
uh-huh.
you know, went through 14 surgeries and,
wow.
you know, mm-hmm. wasn't expected to live past 16. Here I am at 33, and, you know, having been through college and now a published author, just being able to accomplish a lot of the things that I have when, you know, according to the medical experts, I shouldn't be here right now. So that prompted me, that was one of the things that prompted me to do the survivor event for others to come in and tell their stories. So I definitely am grateful for you inviting me to that group and listening to my story. That story, when I posted that, it actually had me up all night, people responding and commenting. Yeah. And, you know, I was actually, I think I didn't go to sleep till like 8 o'clock that next morning.
Well, I'm just glad to have you on there. And you're real, and it's good to hear stories about people who have overcome something that that they were not. Well, you changed your entire destiny, and I know it's God, and I just thank God for that, and you're a blessing, and I want you to continue on, and I'll be talking with you on I Love Christian Writers.
Definitely, and I thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Myra. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, this has been a great and exciting show. We did have a couple callers to call in, and I'm glad that our callers did speak up, because a lot of times we open up the line, you just get dead air. So I'm glad they came on to greet you and to give you your compliments and recognition. So that's a great thing. Lastly, before we get ready to close out, we definitely want you to share your contact information, and I always like to extend an invitation for you to come back again, because one book doesn't mean that you're going to stop. I'm pretty sure you're going to go on to write many more. So we wish you much success in your endeavors and what you're doing, and stay focused on your journey and continue to help people. That's what God has put us here for, is to help others. And if I actually shared with another friend the other day that it doesn't matter how good you think you are or how many, you can keep God's commandments, but if you don't have charity, you still done blew it, because some people are all about themselves. You cannot be that way. God put us in positions to help people, so that's what he wants to do. So I admire your drive. I admire your focus, and I'm glad that you picked something positive to support and give your time to, because a lot of people, you know, people get consumed and busy with their lives, and they don't stop to see what's really going on. So thank you for all that you do.
Well, definitely thank you as well, because, you know, having this opportunity to come on and tell my story and tell the things that I'm doing, you know, it definitely makes a difference. And it's just, you know, some of the little things, like if there's someone that hears this interview and is able to get something from it, or, you know, reach out, whether it's help with publishing or help with anything else, a domestic violence issue, whatever the case may be, that's what I'm here for. I mean, with everything that I do, you know, I'm not in this because it's about money, because it's not.
Trust,
you know,
me,
you don't write.
We already know, as a published author, you know, that comes hard. That's,
right.
That doesn't come easy.
Right. I mean, so for me, it was about writing this story. The fact that, you know, I can say now that I'm a published author, that was the thing for me, to be able to do it and to be able to use my work to give back to someone else or to do for someone else, you know, or just to use it as a tool. I have a client who walked into my office a week ago. I did her intake, and she was talking about, she wanted to do two things. She wanted to be a drug and alcohol counselor. So I said, okay, you know, we're going to help you get on the path to do that. And, you know, I could do this, I can do this. We can get you in this training, this class, and we could do that. So then she talked about her passion for writing and how she writes poetry. And, you know, she wrote a 30-day story for, you know, helping women. And she said, well, you know, I don't know what to do now. So I said, all right, hold that thought for a minute. So I went back to my office, had a copy of my book in my office, and I brought it out. And I showed it to her, and I explained to her. I said, you know, I just published this year. I said, I can walk you through that whole process.
Right.
You know, so you have resources available to you. And, you know, I just watched her light up, because the whole time that she was writing, she was trying to figure out how she was going to get her work out. Now she has an avenue to do it. So, I mean, to be able to help somebody in that aspect, it's all about what I'm all about, you know, just giving to somebody else what they need to do, what they want to do.
Right, and that's the reward. The reward is that you know that you helped somebody, or you planted a seed, or you were there to get somebody on the right track. You know, it's like every little bit helps. It's better to do something, whether it's a small thing, than to do nothing at all. People
right.
just don't get that. You know, it's like if we see scenarios every day when they have these little shows on TV where they put hidden cameras in and leave a child out on the street that's looking for their mommy. You can see 15, 20 people walk past, the little kid screaming mommy, and they won't stop to help. So sometimes you got to just stop and help sometime. Some people just don't. So, but that's a great thing. Well, we are out of time. The show is about to get ready to close out. But real quick, Ronnie, you still have not shared your contact information, your email, your website, your Facebook, your Twitter, all that good stuff. If somebody want to get in contact with you, let them know how they can do so.
Well, you can reach me. My email is rdawson05@gmail.com. My Facebook is facebook.com/rdawson78. There's a link to my Reconcilable book page actually on my Facebook. You can reach me at Twitter at @irreconcilable1. Also, just for anyone, if you have questions or need help with anything related to publishing, assistance with some sort of issue, whether it's related to domestic violence, reentry, anything in social services, I can be reached at 856-534-2682. That's my cell number. So, you know, if anyone just wants to reach out for anything that I can do to assist somebody, definitely feel free.
All right, and everybody, again, I must remind you guys that the show is archived, so you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/AAMBC, and you can listen to the episode over again in case you missed anything or you need to jot down a number. It is recorded, so you can go back after the show is over, and you can fast forward it or whatever and get to the part you need, but definitely, definitely, definitely pick up Ronnie's book. It is on Kindle. Guys, I'm looking at some great reviews, so add it to your Kindle shelf. We do want to thank Ronnie for joining us tonight, and we will be back here on the 16th, I believe, and we will be with Miss Vanessa. God, I forgot her last name. I'm trying to do this stuff off of memory, guys, because I'm trying to get out of having notes all the time. But if you go to Blog Talk Radio AMBC, you can look at the radio schedule. So be sure to join us on the 16th as we hang out with her. We want to wish everybody a blessed night, and we thank everybody for joining us. We thank our guest again, Mr. Ronnie C. Dawson, for hanging out with us, discussing his book, Irreconcilable Differences. Oh, my God, I got to get that word down. That's a long, hard word for Miss Anna. But we want to wish you guys a good night. Last shout-out to Miss Tamika Newhouse, who is the founder of AAMBC. And if you are an author that wants to come on come on the show to promote your book or discuss your book, please reach out to me at annabaambc@gmail.com. And you can always get in touch with Miss Tamika Newhouse. Also, and she always forwards me the email anyway. So you have a couple different avenues to do that. You guys have a great night. I'm going to leave you guys with a little Estelle, one of my favorites called Thank You. You guys have a good night, and we will see you back here next week, July the 16th.
Sometimes